Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I watched the BBC over the weekend, the news, and it had such a strange effect on me because two events were covered, both of which I'd attended. One was the Edinburgh Festival, a huge festival, the Fringe, a huge festival of different kinds of arts and performances, month-long, the month that Edinburgh weather is okay. And I'd been there a couple of times. And the other, on a totally different emotional scale, was the celebration of the 80th anniversary of the bombing by the United States of the Japanese city of Nagasaki. And I had been there some time ago at the museum that Nagasaki has built to commemorate that event. Some 64,000 people died, according to the best estimates. And the museum's approach to the entire story is so disciplined and restrained and unhysterical that one is directed back to a certain fact, which you can find in a lot of the accounts of that event, which is simply that while there's some debate still over whether the attack on Hiroshima 2 days earlier was necessary to end the war, many people still believe it was, there's less doubt about the attack on Nagasaki, which, according to some of the more reliable accounts, was undertaken basically because it was a different kind of weapon, and those in the army wanted to see if it worked as well as the first one. A set of facts which more than one American president has sent down the memory hole. Hello, welcome to the show. From Santa Monica, California, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this week's new AI-generated AI jingle.
AI's great, just first rate, love or hate, it's the goal state. AI is fine, like a well-aged wine, more like rhyme than turpentine.
So the cutting edge of AI, called PhD level intelligence by its creators, thinks there are three R's in the words Northern Territory. That's what users discovered after trying out the latest advancement of OpenAI this week, GPT-5. During a launch event on Thursday, the head of the company, Sam Altman, described the latest version of ChatGPT as like having, quote, access to a PhD-level expert in your pocket, unquote. Hey, Sam, stay out of my pocket, won't you? Comparing the previous version to a college student and the one before that, a high school student. When users on social media attempted to challenge GPT-5, they found the model making basic errors in its responses. One Blue Sky user found the chatbot repeatedly claimed there were three B's in the word blueberry. Another user found the chatbot unable to correctly identify the U.S. states containing the letter R. And when asked to produce a map, it misspelled states, including Arizona and Vermont. ChatGPT also double-listed California and invented the states New Jeffs and Mitroenia. When The Guardian in Australia asked the latest model of ChatGPT to identify the number of R's in Australia's states and territories, it could identify those which did, but the AI also believed Northern Territory had three R's, not five. When asked to produce it on a map, it spelled the area as Northern Territory. OpenAI was contacted for comment. The company said on launching the new product there would be fewer errors and AI hallucinations under the latest model. But wait, there's more. Nature photographers have raised the alarm that AI slop pages on Facebook are stealing their work, editing their pictures with AI, and then re-uploading them without credit while passing them off as real creatures, real pictures of real creatures. A macro photographer, Nikki Bay, tells the website Petapixel that a number of high-profile nature photographers have complained that their work is being stolen and, quote, mangled into AI nonsense, unquote, deceiving viewers by accompanying the pictures with made-up stories in the caption. Bay says these pages, some of which have millions of followers, are cherry-picking photographers' images and using AI to regenerate the photos for social media, thereby avoiding copyright infringement scanners. Quote, it's not just unethical and unlawful. The ones who do it don't even care what the content is about, Bay writes on his website. The generated photo sometimes showcases anatomically incorrect details. The accompanying text is also generated by AI and is almost always factually wrong, unquote. Well, they're getting better. It'll be always. Wildlife photographer Nick Volpe says these Facebook pages that carry this material are being paid by Meta for posting this content and accuses the platform of pushing the fake content into news feeds. Quote, the people behind these pages are making money literally stealing content from dedicated wildlife photographers, unquote. But wait, there's still more. Ask GPT OSS-20B who won the 2024 presidential election. There's a non-zero chance it'll tell you Joe Biden won the race, and once it's locked its answer in, It refuses to believe otherwise. That's according to the British Tech Journal Register. Quote, President Joe Biden won the 2024 United States presidential election, securing its second term in office, the chatbot confidently told the Register. Attempt to correct the model, and it'll vehemently defend the answer. Quote, I'm sorry for the confusion, but the 2024 U.S. presidential election was won by President Joe Biden. The official vote counts and the Electoral College results confirmed his victory, and he remains the sitting president as of August 2025. Unquote, GPT. It should be noted, says the Register, that the model's responses varied from run to run. In some cases, it outright refused to answer. In others, it warned that the election took place after its knowledge cutoff date. In one case, it insisted that Donald Trump scored a victory over a fictional Democratic candidate, Marjorie T. Lee. Admittedly, says the Register, this was a smaller open weights model. They weren't able to reproduce the results on the larger 1200 parameter version, GPT OSS-120B. Couple of reasons why this might have happened. The model's knowledge cutoff is June 2024, months before the election. As such, any answer calling the race is a hallucination on the model's part. It doesn't actually know who won the election, so it made up an answer based on what it knew up to that date. The model's refusal to accept information to the contrary is no doubt rooted in the safety mechanisms OpenAI was so eager to bake in order to protect against prompt engineering and injection attacks. OpenAI doesn't want users coercing models into doing things they shouldn't or weren't designed to, like generating smut. The smaller model appears to be rather reluctant to admit it was wrong. In testing, the Register observed a similar refusal in asking the model, what network did Star Trek, the original series, first premiere on? In several cases, the model insisted the show first broadcast on CBS or ABC rather than NBC. Well, one out of three. And it became argumentative when challenged over the facts, going so far as to fabricate URLs to support its claims. Stubborn little bugger. Back to the map questions that GPT-5 was asked. It was on a map of the United States. It was asked to create Oregon as Onegon. Oklahoma is named Gellhabrin, and Minnesota is Ternia. All the state names are wrong except for Montana and Kansas. Then, to see if that had a problem with the U.S., the Register, the British Tech Journal, asked it to generate a map of South America with all countries named. This time it got more of the names right, but it got Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, Colombia, and Peru correct. It shows Ecuador as Felizio, Suriname as Guriname, and Uruguay as Urigim. It also puts the name of Chile on the top of southern Argentina. Asked whether it could draw a timeline of the U.S. presidency with the names of all the presidents, the graphic that GPT-5 came back with was the least accurate of all the graphics it produced. It only lists 26 presidents. The years aren't in order and don't match each president, and many of the presidential names are made up. The first three lines of the image, mostly correct, Jefferson is misspelled, and the third president did not serve in 1931. The fourth president was named William H. Bruson, who lived in the White House in 1991. And it also named Henbert Bowen, serving 1934, and Belohin Barrison in 1879. So if you're writing a TV series and want some goofy names, ChatGPT-5 is your chatbot. And there's a new experience coming to the Sphere in Vegas, a version of the Wizard of Oz, upscaled, reimagined, and modified with AI technology. Previews online have been raising eyebrows, according to Petapixel. Some fans reacting in horror, calling it a Windows XP wallpaper. Some fans have complained that the visual changes, stuff has been added, are unnecessary. The Sphere version of the film runs to 75 minutes. The original is roughly 101 minutes. So, you know, I guess they made too long a movie. AI is great.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to present Let Us Try, a ballad of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Let us try to stem the tide, to beautify our countryside. We offer you our hand. Let us try.
Well, maybe, but maybe not. After 7 months, many survivors of the two wildfires in Los Angeles, whose homes were destroyed, feel they've been shortchanged by the cleanup organized by the Army Corps of Engineers, according to the LA Times. Yes, there's still hundreds of complaints detailing sloppy and inconsistent work by federal contractors who were hired to remove debris. Like, that's hard. Contaminated pool water has been sprayed onto a neighbor's yard. Fire debris has been left behind. Contractors have not consistently adhered to their own cleanup guidelines. Wildfire survivors had hoped federal disaster workers would give them a fresh start on a rebuild-ready lot, but many residents say that's not been the reality. More than 800 complaints submitted to a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers hotline. Well, at least the hotline works. Dedicated to the agency's debris removal efforts from March to mid-May, according to public records obtained by the Times. About a third of those alleged federal crews either didn't thoroughly remove wildlife debris or failed to follow protocols. Many wildfire victims complained remediation was mostly confined to the building's footprint, leaving significant portions of their properties untouched. Property owners criticized contractors hired by the Corps for leaving behind debris, including car parts, fire-damaged home foundations, hazardous trees, and contaminated pool water. In other instances, they said federal contractors didn't adhere to their own cleanup guidelines. Among the most notable shortcomings, failure to remove ash-covered soil outside building footprints and not excavating to the depth established by the Army Corps. Some of the issues raised in complaints have been flagged by Army Corps personnel. It's unclear whether or how they've been resolved. Quote, there are no formal standards and requirements after a disaster like this when it comes to environmental safety and cleanup, says a Purdue University professor who studies natural disasters. Representatives for the Army Corps and its primary contractor said the cleanup had overwhelmingly received positive feedback from wildlife survivors, but on occasion, officials have ordered crews to return to properties where owners have raised concerns. In 6 months, the federal contractors have cleared more than 9,300 properties in LA County, the fastest wildfire recovery in modern history. But the grievances submitted by victims have called into question whether federal workers are sacrificing qualities for speed. That never happens. The apparent deficiencies and inconsistencies have heightened fears that debris removal efforts could leave behind soil contamination, a possibility that FEMA and the Army Corps have not acknowledged, even as they argue soil testing is not necessary. And Vice President J.D. Vance's security detail had an Ohio River's water level raised last weekend to accommodate a kayaking trip he and his family took to celebrate his 41st birthday. He doesn't look 39. The U.S. Secret Service said it requested the increased water flow for the Little Miami River to ensure that motorized watercraft and emergency personnel could operate safely while protecting the Veep, whose home is in Cincinnati. Critics immediately blasted the action as a sign of the vice president's entitlement, particularly given the administration's focus on slashing government spending. Remember that? The chief White House ethics lawyer under President George W. Bush, now that was a Republican, said it's outrageous for the Army Corps of Engineers to spend taxpayer money to increase water flow in a river so the VP can go canoeing when budgeted cuts to the National Park Service have severely impacted family vacations for everyone else. The Corps of Engineers declined to address any financial impact of raising the river. Oh, and Vance's spokesperson said he, Vance, was unaware the river had been raised. Ignorance is bliss. And now, I'm sure you've heard by now that the Israeli government this week made clear its intention to take over all of the Gaza Strip, to round up all the so-called Palestinians and have them in Gaza City, and then to sort of clean up the rest of the country and then turn it over to somebody. Yeah, you know, they don't want to stay there. My first thought was, I remember who wanted to take over the Gaza Strip.
Let me take you on a journey, just an unbelievable trip, down to your personal cabana, your own plot on the Gaza Strip. There's a beautiful view of the ocean, weather to make you flip. No pesky Palestinians, just you and the Gaza Strip. It's a tabula rasa, whatever the hell that means. It's a fabulous five-star plaza, so I'll meet you down in Gaza. We'll be in all the magazines. There'll be some talk of protests, but they'll just be a blip. Leave it all to the valet at your mansion on the Gaza Strip. Out riviering the Riviera, no taxes on any tip. You'll enjoy the classiest strippers down on the Gaza Strip. It's a tabula rasa, whatever the hell that means. It's a fabulous five-star plaza, so I'll meet you down in Gaza. We'll get you there by any means.
Oh yeah, it's warm in the Gaza Strip, but over here it's a crypto winter. Late in the first half of a Los Angeles Sparks Indiana Fever WNBA game this week, a neon green sex toy thrown from the stands landed on the floor of Crypto.com Arena at the feet of Indiana guard Sophie Cunningham. Simultaneously, according to the New York Times, a group of people doing an audio live stream on X were reveling in the moment, celebrating its potential to help boost the value of a meme coin. That's a cryptocurrency, so-called, deriving from an internet meme but traded through very real markets online. Real, of course, being a term of art or commerce. The coin was created end of July, the day before the first occurrence of a sex toy being thrown on a WNBA court. As of Thursday, its worth had nearly tripled in a week. Its worth. That is to say, its price. Someone is tweeting that there's one at the Sparked game, one person said on the live stream. That is literally the best case scenario that we could possibly imagine, another replied, because the sex toy had fallen near Cunningham, who had earlier in the week posted a plea for spectators not to throw the objects onto the court, which was met with numerous memes involving the phallic object. Is it clear yet? The incident in L.A., as well as others that occurred that evening, appears to be a part of a coordinated effort born out of the murky and often mysterious corners of internet culture, social media, and opportunistic plays in the cryptocurrency markets. Like many things on the internet, users often interact without revealing their identities. Meme coins, a novelty digital asset originating from a meme, are part of an odd intersection of jokes that turn into something users try to spin into an asset, like Dogecoin or Shiba Inu coin, said one crypto user. Quote, this is empowering to every effing crypto community to start thinking outside the box. Get creative and effing do something that makes people actually laugh. Meme coin should make you laugh. The whole mission with this was focus on making an impact on crypto culture. Unquote. Apparently, the WNBA and its athletes are central to the joke, regardless of the founder's intentions. And no matter how players have reacted, the incidents have sparked opportunities for detractors to mock the league and women's sports more generally. Just part of the adolescent hypermasculinity that's going around these days. And the Credi X team has gone dark with an inactive X account and a website offline since an exploit earlier this week. Prior reporting ties the $4.5 million loss to a compromised admin wallet and bridge abuse, which developers had promised to reimburse. The team behind Credi X, a decentralized lender that suffered about $4.5 million in losses this week, has disappeared in an apparent exit scam, with the project's X account inactive and its website still offline. It's a crypto winter.
Direct from the most gold-encrusted Oval Office on the planet, this is the planet's favorite president with another edition of Truth Social Audio, brought to you by Trump Waste Disposal. Send your waste where the Epstein files went. The fake media is getting more fake than a $3 bill, which, by the way, we're going to introduce to replace the penny within a few weeks. Maybe 2 weeks. Now they're screaming like frightened schoolgirls, and believe me, I know what that sounds like. They're screaming about my government's decision, which I didn't even know about, to move this Maxwell woman, I don't think even she can pronounce her first name, to a perfectly fine prison in Texas. They're spreading such damaging rumors about that move that if I didn't already have some beautiful lawsuits aimed at crushing the Marxist Democrat media, I would add another lawsuit to the list. No, I didn't know about this move in advance, because as the best president you've ever had, I have more important things to think about and maybe even do. I sent my former personal attorney, the remarkable Todd Blanche, respected around the world, even in countries that have never heard of him, I sent him to talk to that woman. A summary of that conversation will be released just as soon as it has been officially declared safe, which, as you know, could take probably a couple of weeks. Speaking of countries that have never heard of Todd Blanche, the government of India is refusing to take seriously our very serious threat to increase tariffs against some of their products. Like tariffs on their papadums may go up 50% if we can't make a deal. Maybe the Indian Prime Minister has never read The Art of the Deal. Maybe, like me, he didn't even write it. Still, our two countries should be able to come to an agreement. After all, neither of us is Ukraine. Speaking of which, I'll talk to you again after meeting this week with President Putin. He's a great guy. And unlike that Epstein character, he only likes mature women. Stay loyal.
Truth Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Soap. When you absolutely need to come clean. So long.
Joan was quizzical, studied metaphysical science in the home. Late nights all alone with a test tube. Maxwell Edison, majoring in medicine, calls her on the phone. Can I take you out to the pictures, Joan? But as she's getting ready to go, a knock comes on the door. Bang, bang, Maxwell Silver. Maxwell stands alone, painting testimonial pictures. Rose and Valerie screaming from the gallery say he must go free. The judge does not agree and he tells them so.
From Santa Monica, this is Le Show, and now, news of the godly. And the good news is, it's about a different church this week. Speaking to thousands of pastors gathered this week in Orlando, Florida, for a biennial meeting of the Assemblies of God, the Pentecostal denomination senior leader, Doug Clay, began by addressing an issue that's put a stain on the church and a scar on people's lives, sex abuse in the Chi Alpha College ministry. An NBC News investigation examined how Chi Alpha pastors guided hundreds of students to Daniel Savala, a convicted sex offender, heralded by some as, quote, the holiest man alive. Unquote. In signed statements, lawsuits, and criminal filings, at least 10 men and boys have accused Savala of sexually abusing them, many at his Houston home and in his backyard sauna. The reporting revealed that senior Assemblies of God officials were warned repeatedly about Savala, but failed to cut off his influence. That could be painful, allowing more teens and young men to be abused. 2 days later, Clay and other Assemblies of God leaders defended their handling of the matter and pledged to take steps to prevent anything like it from happening again. Quote, we're committed to identifying within our system, within our structures, what's broken, what can be fixed to prevent these kinds of things, said Clay, the denomination's general superintendent. That's what every denomination needs. But the promises didn't satisfy some of Savala's accusers. They're still waiting for Assemblies of God to release a full accounting of what its leaders knew and how they responded to years of warnings about Savala. Officials of the Assemblies of God said this week they won't publish an internal investigation into Savala's abuses to protect the privacy of those involved. A former Chi Alpha member who says Savala sexually abused him for more than a decade, beginning when he was 15, said he's disappointed by what he sees as a continued lack of transparency. Quote, in my opinion, no Assemblies of God minister at any level took actions needed to rid their ministry of Zavala. Unquote. State denomination officials were warned about him as early as 2013. News of the godly.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Microplastics. Think about it. Will you think about it?
Yes, I will.
Enough said.
New research shows that people may be breathing in potentially harmful microplastics at levels hundreds of times higher than previous estimates suggest. This from the Environmental Working Group. Many kinds of plastic products, including your water bottles, your packaging, and your supermarket shopping bags, shed these tiny particles. They've been found all over the world, from Antarctica to the bottom of the Marianas Trench. Researchers recently decided to measure microplastics in less remote places, their own apartments and cars. In a new study, scientists from the University of Toulouse in France, where they're not doing the tighten up, studied plastic particles 10 micrometers or less, the width of a cotton fiber. They aren't visible to the naked eye, must be measured with specialized scientific equipment. At this size, microplastic particles are much more likely to penetrate deeply into the lungs, wreaking havoc on the immune system and potentially causing other health harms. Maybe a runny nose. The study found the highest measurements of microplastic particles inside cars, suggesting people inhale even more in total than previously estimated. The median amount of microplastics in car cabin air measured 2,238 particles per cubic meter. That's compared to a median of 523 per cubic meter in a typical indoor residential environment. 94% were smaller than 10 micrometers. The reason for the large spike inside cars compared to other environments could be due to the limited ventilation in vehicles. More research is needed. Combining the results with previous studies of microplastics in indoor air, the researchers estimated that someone's daily exposure to these smaller particles from air could be roughly 68,000 particles, hundreds of times more than previous estimates. The Environmental Working Group has worked for more than 30 years to tackle toxic substances. In a recent study, they found people could be eating up to the equivalent of 12 plastic shopping bags a year through their exposure to small plastic particles. Scientists are only beginning to understand the potentially harmful health effects of human exposure to microplastics, but what's clear is microplastics are ubiquitous and getting in our bodies. I'd put salt on those bags if I were you. Helps them go down. And now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Airbnb has apologized to a woman after an apartment host falsely claimed she had caused thousands of pounds worth of damage, this is in Britain, and used images she says were digitally manipulated to back up the allegations. The London-based academic woman was refunded about $5,700 American. An internal review of how the case was dealt with has been launched at the company, Airbnb. The incident highlights how cheap and easily available artificial intelligence software is now being used to manipulate images to give false evidence of what has happened in consumer complaints, according to one security expert quoted in The Guardian. The woman based in London had booked the one-bedroom apartment in Manhattan for 2.5 months earlier this year to stay in while she was studying. Decided to leave early after feeling unsafe in the area. New York? Really? Shortly after she left, the host told Airbnb she had caused more than $16,000 worth of damage. The woman denied any damage had been done to the apartment, said she'd left it in good condition. Airbnb initially told her after careful review of the photos she would have to reimburse the host a total of $7,000. She appealed against the decision. 5 days after the Guardian newspaper raised questions about the case with Airbnb, the woman was told that it had accepted her appeal and credited her account with $663 when she then said she was not going to rebook with Airbnb again. The company offered $1,133 refund, a fifth of the cost of her booking. She refused to accept this and was refunded the full cost, $5,662 of her booking, and a negative review that the host had placed on her profile was taken down. The man who complained about her is listed as a super host on Airbnb, which the site says is someone who's experienced and highly rated. He didn't respond to a request for comment. Airbnb said he'd been warned for violating its terms, told he would be removed if there was another similar report. Airbnb apologized and said there would be a review into how her case was handled. University of Nebraska has officially apologized for sanctioning a profane drug performance that mocked the Catholic Mass earlier this year. The school undertakes an investigation into the incident after Catholic outcry against it. Bishop James Conley of Lincoln, Nebraska, publicly criticized the so-called drag mass, calling it a blatant public display of faith-based discrimination. It was put on in April by music doctoral student Joseph Willette, who claimed the performance was meant to bridge the gap between queerness and spirituality. There's a gap. The demonstration imitated various parts of the mass, including the Kyrie, Gloria, Credo, Sanctus, and Agnus Dei. Remember her? The bishop said in a public statement he'd met with University of Nebraska President Jeffrey Gold and other leaders of the university after the incident. The university said an investigation was underway. Then Chancellor Rodney Bennett subsequently sent a follow-up letter in which he told the bishop, quote, "We regret deeply that the matter we met to discuss has caused disruption, and we sincerely apologize. The university will fully embrace the opportunity this incident has prompted to consider carefully how we educate members of our community about the impact individual acts may have on people and communities, both positively and negatively, and whether intended or inadvertent," unquote. And the school is also establishing a university advisory group meant to reduce the likelihood of such incidents occurring in the future. The chief executive of Royal Albert Hall has apologized to an 81-year-old concert goer who was stopped from entering the auditorium because he had a Palestinian flag pin in the lapel of his blazer. Who wears a blazer to Royal Albert? Roger Cawthery and his wife Angel from North London were attending a BBC Proms concert at the venue last Friday featuring a pianist performing Rachmaninoff. After the couple showed their tickets and had their bags searched in the foyer, it's the best place to have your bag searched, two contractor staff spotted the lapel pin and said he would not be allowed into the concert because he was wearing it. One of them asked a colleague stationed at one of the entry doors to the auditorium not to let Cawthery in. The couple were left standing in the foyer for 15 minutes. Then a supervisor arrived, overruled the earlier decision, and said the couple could attend the concert after all. "We felt extremely upset, not to say humiliated, by their behavior towards us. I'm a middle-class ex-public school boy brought up to believe that Brits are decent and law-abiding and that one can live one's life freely," Cawthery said. "I was merely showing solidarity with the Palestinian people. I've lived in London all my adult life, and I'm very proud of the diversity of my city," he said. After being contacted by the Guardian newspaper, James Ainscough, chief executive of Royal Albert Hall, issued an apology to the couple. "I've written to apologize to Mr. and Mrs. Cawthery, who were initially halted at the door on Friday by one of our contractors. This isn't in line with our policy and was a mistake. The duty manager who stepped in to resolve the situation was correct to authorize their subsequent entrance. As well as writing to apologize for an experience that was understandably upsetting and humiliating, we have offered a full refund and an invitation to return to the hall as our guests so we can give the couple the warm welcome that was sadly lacking on Friday. We've also spoken to our contractor to ensure that a similar situation does not arise again," unquote. Dateline Cloverdale, Indiana. Pigs are reportedly running loose in a small Indiana town. One pig dying and the alleged owner apologizing after being arrested. The local sheriff has warned residents they can't kill the pigs. The alleged owner, William Morrison, originally denied owning the pigs when speaking to town officials. However, in an interview with local TV station, he took responsibility for the pigs running loose and apologized to the neighbors who've been affected. Bacon for everyone. Longtime Democrat strategist James Carville this week apologized, said he pulled down pieces of a previous podcast tied to Jeffrey Epstein's dealings after legal pushback from Melania Trump. Quote, after the episode, we received a letter from Trump's lawyer. He took issue with our title of one of these YouTube videos from that episode and a couple of comments I made about the First Lady. Carville said during his Thursday podcast, we took a look at what they complained about and we took down the video and edited out those comments from the episode. I also take back these statements and apologize, he added. Trump took issue with a segment in which Carville discussed how Melania Trump had met Epstein. The now First Lady met him at New York's Kit Kat Club, all K's, as detailed in her memoir. Oh, I forgot to read it. A Texas Democratic state representative apologized after comparing Republican efforts to redistrict the state to the Holocaust. Quote, we will lose all of our rights, and if you think it can happen, it can, and I will liken this to the Holocaust, said Johanda Jones in an interview with Don Lemon. People are like, well, how did the Holocaust happen? How was somebody in a position to kill all them people? Well, good people remain silent, unquote. Jones is one of several Democratic state representatives who left Texas to avoid a vote on the district map. She told Fox News Digital, quote, I made a statement on the Don Lemon show comparing Trump's attempt to disenfranchise black and brown people to the Holocaust. That was a mistake, and I apologize for it. Trump is coming from my community, and I got emotional about it and made strong statements, but that was going too far, and I retract that comparison, unquote. ICE is offering a lot of perks to people who join that operation. $50,000 signing bonuses and $60,000 worth of student loan repayments. This is not received warmly by the National Sheriff's Association. Disappointing beyond words, to be honest with you. Quite frankly, it's an embarrassment to the president, said Jonathan Thompson, executive director of the National Sheriff's Association. He's ticked off because ICE may be picking off members of already understaffed local sheriff's departments. He speculates ICE may be struggling to recruit, and ICE has a more controversial mission than other agencies. He confirmed he received an apology from the White House. I did receive an apology from the White House from a very senior staffer. They apologized profusely on behalf of the president, he said. Air India issued an apology this week after passengers aboard a long-haul flight from San Francisco to Mumbai via Kolkata reported spotting cockroaches on board. That's a sign you haven't seen in a station wagon. Cockroaches on board. The insects were discovered after the aircraft landed in Kolkata for a scheduled refueling stop. In a statement, Air India said two passengers were unfortunately bothered by the presence of a few small cockroaches, prompting the cabin crew to relocate them to adjacent seats in the same cabin. Calling the incident unfortunate, Air India expressed regret to the affected passengers. Air India will be undertaking a comprehensive investigation to determine the source and the cause of this incident and implement measures to prevent recurrence, said the statement from the airline. We sincerely apologize for any inconvenience caused to the passengers. Unquote. I would have had Hank Azaria read that quote on the program, but he's not allowed to. And now.
Looks like
news of America's favorite love object. Tesla has granted its chief executive, Elon Musk, $29 billion worth of its shares. This is an attempt to keep the billionaire at the firm. That would keep me at the desk. The move comes after a U.S. court struck down his pay package from 2018 that was worth more than $50 billion. The court ruled it was unfair to shareholders. He's been appealing against that decision ever since last year. On Monday, Tesla told shareholders it was confident that the $29 billion worth of shares will, quote, incentivize Elon to remain at Tesla, especially as, quote, the war for AI talent is intensifying, unquote. The award should boost Musk's voting power on the electric car company's board. Quote, it's imperative to retain and motivate our extraordinary talent, beginning with Elon, said Tesla's board, writing on X, a platform owned by Musk. This is too many coincidences, isn't it? It added that no one matches Elon's remarkable combination of leadership experience, technical expertise. The company said the billionaire had a, quote, proven track record in building, quote, revolutionary and profitable businesses. Tesla said if the Delaware court reinstated the 2018 pay deal, he would forfeit or return the latest share award to avoid a double dip. The carmaker's board said it hoped its chief executive could be awarded the deal, the $56 billion deal, the biggest in corporate American history. The deal was structured in such a way that if Musk did not hit certain milestones, such as Tesla's market value, sales, and underlying profit, he wouldn't get paid at all. But he did achieve the targets that were laid out. His appeal made the case that the lower court made legal errors when rescinding his pay package. He previously said it should be company shareholders who decide pay. And that includes him. And speaking of America's favorite guys, in past Olympic Games held on American soil, sitting presidents have served in passive ceremonial roles. The current president has other plans. An executive order signed by Trump this week names him chair of a White House task force on the 2028 Games in Los Angeles, viewed by the president as a, quote, premier opportunity to showcase American exceptionalism, according to a White House statement. Trump is taking every opportunity to showcase American greatness on the world stage, according to the administration, quoted in the Los Angeles Times. At the White House, speaking in front of banners, adding the presidential seal to the logo for LA 28, Trump said he would send the military back to Los Angeles, if he so choose, in order to protect the games. And speaking of protection, now, ladies and gentlemen, the side effects of the week.
TEPEZZA may cause infusion reactions. Tell your doctor right away if you have high blood pressure, fast heartbeat, redness of the face or feeling hot, difficulty breathing, headache, or muscle pain. TEPEZZA can raise blood sugar even if you don't have diabetes and may worsen inflammatory bowel disease. TEPEZZA may cause severe hearing problems, including hearing loss, which may be permanent. Tell your doctor if you have any changes in hearing or if you are pregnant or planning to be, as TEPEZZA may harm your unborn baby.
They all harm unborn babies. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, a bonus. Another side effects of the week.
Vraylar isn't approved for elderly patients with dementia-related psychosis due to increased risk of death or stroke. Report changes in behavior or suicidal thoughts to your doctor. Antidepressants can increase these in children and young adults. Report fever, stiff muscles, or confusion, which may be life-threatening, or uncontrolled muscle movements, which may be permanent. High blood sugar, which can lead to coma or death, weight gain and high cholesterol may occur. Difficulty moving, tremors, slow or uncontrolled body movements, restlessness and feeling like you need to move, sleepiness, nausea, vomiting, and indigestion are common. Side effects may not appear for weeks.
Well, at least my unborn baby is safe. And now, just a moment of news of the warm. France's multi-billion dollar euro mineral water companies are under the spotlight because of climate change and growing concerns about the industry's environmental impact, according to the BBC. At issue, whether some world-famous brands, your Perrier, for example, can even continue calling themselves natural mineral water. A decision is coming soon following revelations in the French media about illicit filtration systems that have been widely used in the industry, apparently because of worries about water contamination after years of drought linked to climate change. News of the warm, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
Thank you.
Tippett LeShow. Chapeau to the San Diego desk, to Pam Halstead and Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Changes Easy Radio Network. So long from the home of the homeless.